you are here watching this video, it's most likely the case that you love the souls in purgatory, one of the topics that I focus on the most. And when you love something, you want to know everything about it from every source possible. Like me, you want to know, where is purgatory? Can we find it? Is it a physical place? The answer is there, and the church has had it, but it often doesn't present it, or it stops believing in those answers given to previous saints. Today's video, I want to talk about where is purgatory and where is its birthplace. So there are two sources that I want to use. The first is Blessed Maria Agreda in her book on the Blessed Mother, where she gets right into it and she tells us where it is. Before we continue, I need to tell you about Patreon. So Patreon is one of the main ways that people on YouTube obtain sponsorship from viewers like you. And in my Patreon settings, there are three different tiers that you can join: $5, $10, and $15 a month. And I'm revamping the rewards that members get. So first, that's where I will be putting all my family vacations, behind the scenes, kind of more personal things about my life, as well as my meditations on the Sunday Gospels. Do you ever go to Sunday Mass and you really don't like the homily? Well, I'm going to give you an alternative. I'm going to give you insights into the Sunday Gospels that I promise you, you will not hear at Sunday Mass, and it will help you to grow in your understanding of these things. So I am a busy OCD therapist here in Texas, but I want to dedicate more time to YouTube, and that's becoming more and more difficult. Patreon is a way to make that viable so that I can give a whole day's work to be able to do this. Please help support this in any way that you can. So if you support me in either $5, $10, or $15 a month, you will get access to all the rewards that are currently there, as well as exclusive content. Now back to the video. In the center of the earth is the hell of the damned, as in the heart of the earth. This hell is a chaotic cavern which contains many darksome dwellings for diverse punishments, all of them dreadful and terrible. All of these together form a vast globe, like a huge round jar with an opening or mouth of vast expansion. In this horrible dungeon filled with confusion and torments, where the demons and all the damned and shall be there for all eternity, as long as God is God, for in hell there is no redemption. To one side of hell is purgatory, where the souls of the just are purged, and where they cleanse themselves, if they have not satisfied for their faults in this life, or have not departed from this earthly life entirely free from the defects incapacitating them for the beatific vision. This cavern is also large, but not so large as hell, and though there are severe punishments in purgatory, they have no connection with those of heaven. To the other side is limbo, with two different divisions, the one for the children who die unbaptized, and tainted only with original sin, without either good or bad works of their own election. After the final judgment, heaven and hell only are to be inhabited, since purgatory shall be unnecessary, and since even the infants shall be transported to another dwelling place. What's the benefit of knowing where purgatory is? First of all, knowing that it's a physical place, that this tradition of the church is real, and it is not a fairy tale. Another is that it's connected to the world in which we live in. It's intertwined with everything that we experience. When we see from the visions of the children in Fatima, where the Blessed Mother literally opens the earth and shows them hell, well, just to the side of that would have been purgatory. What she teaches us is the intensity of the sufferings of purgatory, that it's at that same level of hell, which by implication means that there's intense suffering, except obviously that in purgatory there's the hope of them finishing. Now I want to talk about where purgatory is born, and this has the biggest impact in our own spiritual lives. This is from St. Catherine of Genoa. Therefore, when a soul has come near to the pure and clear state in which it was created, its beatific instinct asserts itself and grows unceasingly, so impetuously and with such fierce charity, drawing the soul to its last end, that any hindrance seems to the soul a thing past bearing. The more it sees, the more extreme is its pain. Because the souls in purgatory are without the guilt of sin, there is no hindrance between them and God except their pain, which holds them back so that they cannot reach perfection. Clearly, they see the grievousness of every least hindrance. They also see that their instinct is hindered by a necessity of justice. From this understanding is born a raging fire like that of hell, save that guilt is lacking to it. Now, this short chapter that tells us where purgatory is born is a little bit vague, and you have to kind of sit with it for a while. It's born right here. What is that essentially saying? When we've purified ourselves of all imperfections, we will have a natural instinct to want and desire God. And so what does this mean? If you don't desire God, if you don't have a burning desire for God that's almost painful, there is something wrong with you. There is either the rust of sin or the rust of imperfections or defects that you have not yet conquered. So another way to say it is, how can you tell if you're really holy? By the degree that you want God. Now, many of us are, so to speak, good, like we don't have any mortal sin on our souls, but we're also sort of sitting there without any desire. We're kind of just like, okay, I'm not sinning, but I don't really want God. That's not okay. That's a terrible defect for you to have. And that's one of the things that people will go to purgatory for a long time for, simply doing nothing to increase their desire for God. You should intensely desire God, and you should pray and do penance and fast and do things to grow that desire. And it's not enough for it to just be, no, I don't desire God, and yes, I desire God. No, it's not that simple. It's not that black or white. No, but you need to not only desire God, ever increase that desire so that it's more and more and more, to where it's the only thing you want. Like the only thing that you can think of, that everything else sort of annoys you because it gets in the way of you being with God in prayer, at Mass, in the sacraments, in the scriptures, or in whatever is the way that God wants to connect with you. So this is an amazing thing, because we can measure our spiritual lives by that subjective experience of asking ourselves, do I want God? And if I feel sort of dead and tepid and kind of lukewarm, then what can I scrub off? What rust, defect, or sin can I remove from my soul so that that desire can grow, so that I can be like the souls in purgatory, in pain, but here on earth? And you know that when we suffer here on earth for God, that's for our merit, for our purification, for our holiness, so that we can become great saints one day in heaven. My friends, keep praying for this channel and supporting it, praying for the souls in purgatory. I will see you in the next one.